Music from the band Pink Martini is all over television at the moment, in a commercial for Lexus, on the West Wing, and other shows. But Pink Martini makes more than just a 30-second clip. They're a small orchestra from Portland, Oregon. Their music, however, is Italian, French, Japanese, and distinctly American. Their latest CD is called Hang On, Little Tomato.
Please hold me close and whisper.
That's Chyna Forbes singing. She joins us now from Portland, along with the founder and piano player for Pink Martini, Thomas Lauderdale. Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So how did you guys develop this distinct sound, which is, if I might describe it this way, elevated cocktail music for the new world generation?
Wow. Well, after graduating from college, I came back to Portland, Oregon, to play with the Oregon Symphony. I had a contract to play a couple of piano concertos with the symphony, and then sort of became immediately involved in politics and really didn't like the bands that were playing at these political functions. And it began kind of like very organically. I mean, the idea was to create a kind of music that would appeal to people of all generations, that would appeal to people who are both conservative and progressive, and that it would, you know, a music that would appeal to just a sort of a wide scope of people.
Well, now your first album was released in 1997, called
Sympathique.
And what does it take, if I might put it this way, what does it take you folks so long to come up with CDs?
Oh, well, the first one, Thomas really forced us all to comply with, and everybody was dragging their heels, and nobody was paying attention because, you know, we were just a small little band playing in Portland. And that album came out and ended up doing so well that I think the pressure of following it up now that people were actually watching and waiting was a little bit paralyzing to poor little Thomas.
Well, and also, you know, with the first record, they're mostly songs that were already created. The challenge for this record was to write 10 to 12 masterpieces, each of which were different one from the next, and yet cohesive and related.
I guess when you're determined to write 10 masterpieces, it would take you 7 years, wouldn't you?
Maybe more.
Probably more.
I should be impressed with your output then.
The sun has left and forgotten me. It's dark, I cannot see. Why does this rain pour down? I'm gonna drown in a sea of deep confusion.
The title track, Hang On, Little Tomato. Where's this song come from?
This song is actually based on an ad for Hunt's Ketchup from a 1964 issue of, it's actually the October 16th, 1964 issue of Life magazine. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of a sinister ad with a beautiful gleaming tomato. And the ad reads, "Hang on, little tomato, stay on the vine till you're fat and juicy. Then we will pluck you and boil you in secret bubbling spices, and some smart hamburger may then team up with you." And
this is a love song, isn't it? Inadvertently,
it's a siren song, you know, a song of sunlight with this sort of like dark cloud hovering above, which means that the tomato will eventually be devoured.
Just hang on.
Now, when you record songs, write songs even, taking a look at the liner notes in French, Japanese, Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you write in English and translate it? Do you write in French?
Actually, the French songs we do write in French because my great-grandmother was from Brittany, and I learned French in high school, and that was the language I studied. So I can speak fairly well. I'm not fluent, but I can definitely read and write in French, and Thomas can as well. So there's something liberating about writing in a different language. It's so much pressure to write in English. And when you write in French, I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's that, you know, a lot of American audience doesn't understand what the words mean, but you sort of find a different persona when you write in a foreign language. It's like using the other side of your brain.
J'écris des mots doux à toutes les filles de France. J'espère qu'elles y répondent.
That song was actually inspired by the bass player of a French band called Catherine that we brought to Portland to play with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was writing all these postcards one day, and I was practicing my French, and I said, "Que fais-tu? What are you doing?" And he said, "J'écris des mots doux. I'm writing sweet nothings." And I said, "À qui?" And he said, "À toutes les filles de France." To all the girls in France. And I thought that was so romantic.
but probably literally true.
It may have been.
And that's the story of the song.
That is. Although I sort of, whenever I write in French, I sort of assume the role of an old woman looking back on my life. I feel very nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of more from the perspective of an old woman sort of reimagining her life through the youthful girls in France and missing that youth, but also feeling like she had her moment already.
Mais à la fin de l'année, je suis encore seule dans mon lit. Je ne manque à personne.
Mr. Lauderdale, you've been quoted in interviews as referring to yourself and the band as musical archaeologists.
I think that we do literally a lot of digging, whether it's, you know, I've got thousands of LPs, records that I literally am scrambling about, digging through and finding new things all the time. And I think that because everybody in the band comes from such different backgrounds, whether it's, you know, super classical or pop or folk or Afro-Cuban rhythms or, you know, samba, and because we all sort of have studied different languages at different points of our lives, I think that part of the exciting thing, I think, is this idea of putting all of these disparate things together to create a new whole. And a lot of it is certainly based on melodies or lyrics or rhythms of the past.
That nicely introduces another song I wanted to ask you about, El Negro Zumbon, which...
Right, from a 1950 Italian film about a nun who in a previous former life was a nightclub singer, as most nuns were. And
oh, sure.
That's where this song comes from.
Ya viene el negro zumbón, bailando alegre el bayón, repica la zambumba, llama a la mujer. Ya viene el negro zumbón, bailando alegre el bayón, repica la zambumba, llama a la mujer.
Tengo ganas de bailar el nuevo compás, dicen todos cuando me ven pasar.
Chica, ¿dónde vas?
Miss Forbes,
yes.
I have to note, you and Mr. Lauderdale seem to put so much musical scholarship into both finding material and then recording it. Is it considered perfectly respectable to say, you know, I like that song, it's got a nice beat and it's easy to dance to?
Oh, yeah, that's my approach. Thomas is much...
No, it's
more
not.
Of the archaeologist. I just like to have fun and sing in different languages and dance around. You know, I'm sort of the Zabaglione, you know, the side of sweet cream.
You know, ultimately, like...
Oh, my word.
The goal is to, like, you know, create kind of music which appeals to dogs and to, like, little kids. That's really the goal in the end.
If the dogs bark, it's bad. If the dogs...
are on their back, yowling with...
roll around.
Yipping with glee, pretending
then we've
that
got
they...
a hit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's been delightful talking to both of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thomas Lauderdale and China Forbes of Pink Martini speaking with us from Oregon. Their new CD is called Hang On, Little Tomato.
Ya viene el negro zumbón, bailando alegre el bayón. Repita la zambumba, llama la mujer. Ya viene el negro zumbón.
To hear more from Pink Martini, whole songs and everything, you can come to our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.